So, Father Crescito, it has been said that you have some very controversial views on dating.
Yes, it has been said.
And this has piqued my attention. I don't know what those controversial views are, so I just was going to open that up to you and say, what are those views that some people have struggled with that you have shared?
Well, I can't remember. I think it must have been in 2018. Might have been the very beginning of 2019, but I gave a talk at the U of C as part of a series that we were running at the time that I called Dating Isn't a Thing. And there was like 65 students that came to hear this talk. And ever since then, it's just kind of spread like wildfire that, well, some people have misinterpreted what I say. They say that Father Crescito thinks that you should just get engaged without dating someone, which obviously is ridiculous. I have not suggested that. But then other people think that what I've said is that I just don't like the word dating, but it's the same thing as courtship. And still, that is doesn't quite get to the part of what I want to get across. Why I say that dating is not a thing is because I do not believe that it should be treated as a part of the getting to know someone that it has been turned into. I think the word itself comes from saying we have a date, meaning we've made an appointment with each other to go out and spend some time together, get to know each other better. And so if you go on a few of those, then you could say you're dating. That, I think, is where the genesis of this phenomenon has come from. But I have a serious issue with the idea that we can treat people like clothes that you try on in the store or a car that you take for a test drive. You can't treat people like that. And so if you want to get to know someone better, that's fine. And that's a natural thing to do. But to define yourself in terms of boyfriend and girlfriend, now that we're dating, I reject that as the way to begin a relationship with someone. And unfortunately, that's what I see happen with this younger generations. Dating has been moved to practically the beginning of them getting to know each other. They call each other boyfriend and girlfriend, and they say they're dating for this indefinite length of time, often without having it at all on their radar that they're contemplating marriage. And so if marriage isn't even in the equation, and you don't even really know this person, what in the world are you doing calling them your boyfriend or girlfriend and thinking you have exclusive rights to each other's time and attention? That's what I am pushing back against. And so I think there needs to be a longer continuum on which people break down their relationship, the phases that their relationship goes through, and that this phase that you might call dating should just be a brief transition from realizing that this person is not just my friend to deciding we need to seriously consider marriage.
Okay. Interesting. So set up the scenario as a young man and young woman are they're attracted to each other. They want to get to know each other. Are you saying then that the guy shouldn't call up the girl and say, hey, do you want to go for supper? And
no.
Okay.
He should not. Not that quickly. You because it you both know that that only means one thing. That you want to be dating each other. That's why you're taking her out on a date. And I want to say, I'm talking about a particular time in history right now. I'm not saying that this necessarily would have been the case or that I would have felt as strongly as I do right now 40 or 50 years ago. We are living in a time when absolutely nothing in the culture that surrounds the lives of these young people points towards or illuminates the dignity of marriage. And so when you live in a society where everyone understands what dating is supposed to lead towards, that's a very different a circumstance to be living in than the one we're living in right now. And so I do admit that this might be a bit impacted by the time and history in which we find ourselves. But I think the principle remains the same. You don't get to know someone properly by getting to know them exclusively and in private. People aren't fully themselves in a situation like that. We should come to know each other in a broader group setting. You should realize after being in each other's presence and in each other's company, in a group of friends, or at school, you have classes together, or you come to the St. Francis Xavier Chaplaincy in Calgary. You have a community where you notice how each other interact with others. And I tell this to the girls particularly. If you want to know what a guy is like, don't just watch how he treats you when it's just the two of you. Because he's obviously going to be trying to win you over. I'm not saying that he's lying to you, but he's hyping up some part of himself to sell himself as a desirable suitor. Watch how he interacts in a larger group setting. Watch how he acts with his buddies. Watch how he talks to all girls. Pay attention to how he carries himself if you want to get to know him fully. Don't just jump at the opportunity because he came and talked to you one time in private. That's not, you don't know who that person is at that time. So calling them up and say, let's go on a date, you're setting yourself up to not actually get to know this person yet. I think you're actually taking a step back.
So at what point in the continuum of this developing relationship do you move from observing a person in a public setting, spending time with them in a group setting, some sort of group activity, friends, class, to I would like to have coffee with you. So we get to, is that too exclusive to sit down and say, just have a conversation. Are you saying, well, right, maybe you should have some friends there with you?
Well, I think that you will have gone, if you are trying to follow my principles, you will have been out on some group setting dates, if you will, with this person without calling it that. My concern is the change in categories that get applied when you declare yourself to be dating. No one uses Facebook anymore of the younger generation, but back in the day, you used to go and change your relationship status. Right? In our generation, that was a revolutionary thing when you went and changed your relationship status from single to dating. And then everyone said, oh, they're in a relationship. What you've done is now defined yourself by way of another individual, and you implicitly expect two things out of having made that redefinition of yourself. First, you expect exclusive rights to their time and attention. And secondly, you now have given each other permission to introduce physical intimacy into your relationship. Some degree of physical affection. Even if you're very good, serious Catholics, and you plan to abide by chastity and abstinence, saving yourself for marriage, when you call yourself dating, you expect that you should be allowed to do some things together. Those two things coming on too soon and too early compromise your ability to discern the nature of your relationship with each other. That's the problem, is what calling yourself dating assumes to give permission. And the longer you put that off, the better. Now, some people say, yeah, but what if I waited too long to ask and then she gets swept away by someone else? Yep, I get it. That's the risk that you take. But if you are letting yourselves fall in love with each other, just not saying it, that's not at risk. That's not going to happen. I always say to my students, fall in love with your friend, not your boyfriend or girlfriend. Fall in love with your friend. And then you can have that conversation where you say, we're not just friends, are we? You know, we go in these group settings, we're together a lot, but I only ever just want to be with you. I'm always thinking about you. And you realize, yeah, we have something different than I have with any one other person in this group. Okay, can I take you out for dinner? If you've put it off long enough, you know who this person is. Now, you can actually start having serious conversations about what would it look like for us to head in the direction of marriage. If you're not ready to have that conversation, you're not ready to date. That's the bottom line.
Here's another consideration. What would you say to a young man and woman who are ready to date? They've spent some time with each other. They feel like they're ready to move towards marriage. Question, how long is that period of dating to marriage? And two, should they consider getting married if they have zero intention of having children in the immediate future?
Excellent questions. So, in response to how long that period should last, I would say that it doesn't have to be a certain length of time, and it's going to be different for different people. But I don't know any reason why it should be a prolonged period of time. Unless you're doing the whole getting to know you part inside of that box that I'm calling dating. If the getting to know you bit has been dealt with, if you think you're in love with each other, before you say, okay, now we're dating, now we do have some expectations of exclusivity in our time and in our attention, I'm not texting all sorts of other girls now, and you're not getting a ride from any random guy home from church anymore. Those developments have taken place. There shouldn't need to be another year or two of continuing to just talk further about stuff that you already would assume should be on the radar. You don't need a year of talking about the same topic with a person to decide if you're going to marry them. You should know. Now, if you say, let's get married right away, but we don't want to have children for 5 years, I don't think that's very advisable. Now, the old saying is that marriage was a remedy for concupiscence. And so you got married so that you didn't violate chastity. But that was also understood from the context that you didn't do anything to prevent the conception of a child once you were married. Now, there's nothing wrong with using natural family planning. The church promotes and accepts that as a healthy part of married life. But we should not start a state of life that is equally defined by intending to have children by beginning it intending not to. If there are reasons that you think, I know we're not going to be ready for children yet, then you should reconsider, when will you be ready to be married? And there's nothing wrong with being afraid of having children right away or saying, you know, in our perfect plan, we'd like to both be finished school or we'd like to have bought a house. That's fine. We can all have our preferences and you can make your plans however you want them to be. But there has to be openness. If you think that if we conceived a child now, it would be a disaster, then you're also not ready to be married.
You know, marriage is ordered towards children. This is not, if we're going to have children, no, if we can certainly say, and I'm sure you would agree that if a couple wants to get married, but they don't want to have children, then they shouldn't get married.
Right.
there's certainly some cases where couples can't have children, which is a completely different case, and that comes with great pain. Janelle and I were talking about this recently, and it really kind of felt more strongly maybe than what we have articulated up to this point, that if a young couple was getting married and they just don't want to have children in the immediate future, then why are you getting married? Don't get married. Like, what's the point? Your whole relationship is ordered towards life. Now, there could be circumstances that are unforeseen that happen in the beginning of marriage that realize, okay, maybe we should postpone, or it would be prudent to do so. But if those are foreseeable, and you know, and you say, well, we want to postpone for a long period of time right after we're married, before we have children, my thought is, well, what in the world are you doing getting married then?
Right.
Because your whole marriage is ordered to life. That's supposed to happen. Children are not an accident. This is the beauty of marriage. It allows for self-sacrifice, self-donating love that produces another child, and then you get to love them. I think a lot of times people say, oh, I want to put that off because, well, our lifestyle is going to change, or they just want to have a perpetual dating relationship, but now it's marriage with all those physical benefits.
Right.
That's selfish. I mean, there's a beauty that comes with physical intimacy, but part of that beauty, besides the pleasure, is life.
Right. That you might, in this act of physical intimacy with your beloved, be blessed by God to participate in His act of creation. Right? God primarily reveals Himself to us in creation. We say that the principal operation of the first person of the Blessed Trinity, of the Father, is creation. So every act of sexual intimacy in marriage should be regarded as an opportunity to be called upon by God to have participated in that greatest of His acts. And if you would start your married life intending not to participate in that, or hoping that He won't ask that from you, it's counterintuitive. Now, as I said, that doesn't mean that as soon as you get married, you should be making sure you try and conceive a child within the first month of marriage. That obviously, no one would understand that that has to be your main objective. But that's my question to them. If you imagine that, yeah, we really want to be married, but we definitely want to make sure we don't have a child, then you don't want to be married. If you can say, yeah, well, we'd like to try and finish our degree, or my future husband has a contract that he's finishing off, and so it would be helpful if we were both under the same roof again, stably. Yeah, of course, those are all good considerations. And if one of those is pitted against the possibility of conceiving a child, then it's better that you postpone getting married. But if you can't live apart, if your desire for married life is so strong and you just want to be with each other, then you have to ask, is this out of love that I want to begin my married life with this person? Or is it, I believe the teachings of the church, I don't want to sin, but we really can't do this abstinence thing much longer, so we've got to get married. If that's part of what's driving the desire to get married now, then you're going to continue to run into trouble throughout the rest of your married life. Because as far as I can tell, every married couple I know spends the vast majority of their married life abstaining. You have so much to do in a day that you don't plan your entire life around the next opportunity for sexual intimacy with your spouse. It may be the culmination of your love, but it's not the driving force of what keeps your married life going. You're pulled in a million different directions. So you're already coming to marriage with a mistaken understanding if you don't realize that self-control and prolonged periods of abstinence are already going to be part of married life.
Yeah, most certainly.
So if you think it's hard right now, it's not going to necessarily get all that much easier. So therefore, marriage is not your remedy. You need to work on whatever that is interiorly with you, within you, that you need to make sure you have integrated as well as you can before you enter into married life.
So if one of the fruits of marriage is children, when one, now rewind, going back into considering dating, moving from this friendship into this exclusivity type of relationship, should one move into that more exclusive relationship, if you want to call it dating, if one is not ready to be a father or to be a mother, that is so far out of the realm of possibility?
That's part of my whole point about why would you start dating a person you don't know, or worse, when you don't even know yourself yet, and not have on the radar marriage and children. If you are confident that that can't be on the radar right now, then neither is dating. Because casually going around and meeting up with people and playing with each other's emotions and desires, giving yourself titles like boyfriend and girlfriend that carry with them expectations about how you use your time and where you direct your attention, that there is no room for that to have been imposed upon your life or for you to impose it upon someone else's life, when the entire purpose of that arrangement is not pointing towards where it should be going. And so that's the main reason behind my insistence that you do not need to get into that situation prematurely. And if you want to call it courtship, that's fine. But don't just date by a different name. If you're courting someone and you have exclusive access to each other's time and attention, and you participate in some acts of physical intimacy, even if they're not gravely sinful, you're dating. So I don't care what you call it. It's the disposition towards marriage that needs to be understood.
What about the scenario where a person doesn't have the opportunity to spend time with another person in a group setting? Not everyone is on the university campus of Calgary with a great Catholic community. They might be in the workforce. They go to church. They're really not in a Catholic community. They don't have these chances. Maybe all they have is a dating app. Your thoughts?
Well, here we go. I just keep piling on my unpopular opinions. I have very strong reservations about dating apps. Something like Catholic Match, because I don't think our culture has the capacity or the maturity to interact with those things properly. People are not Netflix shows or skip the dishes menu items or songs in a playlist. So if you open your phone and you're just used to scrolling through until you find the thing you want to try with music or TV shows or food, and then you start acting like that towards people, that is the absolute worst way to begin hoping to have a relationship. And in this case, you're not just trying to get to know someone. You've both explicitly stated, I'm looking for my spouse. And if that's what you are doing, then you're going to end up in a scenario where you have commodified your potential future spouse. You've treated them as though they're just another option for you to explore. That being said, when people have gotten to a certain age and they still haven't found a spouse and they are quite sure that that's what they should be doing with their life, and they aren't meeting the right people, or they're trying to put themselves out there and they just don't ever find that they're attracted to the people that they're meeting. There's a whole number of reasons why someone might find that just placing yourself in a larger group setting and trying to come into contact with someone isn't happening. Then I accept that the use of a tool like a dating app can be helpful. But then I think you still need to initiate the same sort of approach once you have found each other and are preliminarily introduced. You should have a prolonged period of getting to know each other before you make any declarations about how you see yourself in regard to the other person. And the date that you go on is nothing more than a convenient opportunity to be introduced to each other in person. But then as soon as possible, it would be helpful for you to try and watch how this person interacts among others. So maybe you should even meet each other's families fairly soon and just observe, how does this person interact with their siblings and with their parents? How does this man treat his mother? Like, every girl should be watching, how does this man treat his mother? You know, these are ways that can help supplement what I think is implicitly lacking in the use of a dating app.
Yeah, I could see how some people might struggle with some of the things that you have shared, because this is not how it is done. We do treat people like a commodity, like the next dish that we're going to buy from Skip to Dishes. And I think we do that without, to be fair, I don't think that's in a person's intention, right? But it can tend towards that when we involve some of these technologies.
Mm-hmm. And I know I want to say one thing about this idea of leading someone on. That's the pushback I get a lot. Oh, I don't want to seem like I'm leading someone on if I'm being really friendly with them, but I have no intentions of dating them. All I can say to that is, I think you have too high an opinion of yourself if you think being friendly is causing everyone to fall in love with you. Just be natural. We should be friendly to everyone. There was a priest in the seminary who used to have a principle for us seminarians about how to interact with women that he called his principle of no more, no less, which means you don't treat any one woman differently than the next one. The woman who you find physically attractive and who you're drawn to, you cannot treat her with more attention or more affection than the girl that you don't find attractive or that you find kind of annoying. They need to just all be treated the same. And that shouldn't just be for seminarians. I think we can have that principle in those preliminary stages of being in group settings, getting to know people, putting ourselves out there. Just treat people equally. And then over time, you'll notice that there's one person that stands out. You'll only notice that if you give yourself that equal footing to let that person sort of climb up in the rankings.